Well, here we are again looking at kingdom blessings, and the kingdom blessing we're looking at today is faith. Now, you may not think too much about faith being a blessing, but it is. We'll deal with that here in a little bit. But you look on the screen there, this first panel, Kingdom of God, one gracious blessing after another, and then the sort of the verse we've been using a lot is on the next slide, where Paul in Ephesians chapter 1 talked a lot about our blessings in Christ. Blessings in Christ. He talked a lot about that in that, a lot of sections of Ephesians. But one of the passages we've dealt with there is praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. Is he going to get around to that one day, or is he? Well, he's already done that, right? Has blessed us. In the heavenlies, that's where he did it, in the supernatural world. If you decree something in the supernatural world, then it happens. He decreed, let there be light, or light be in the supernatural, and it became a physical entity. So the same is true of us. He decreed some things about us in the supernatural world, in the heavenly realms, and one thing he decreed about our blessings is, we'll look at in a minute, is faith. He's blessed us with in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing, supernatural blessing in Christ. Another kingdom blessing I put on that slide there is faith, right? We're going to talk about faith. And when we do that, we have to look at this scripture first. This is Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, the gift of faith. Some people think, well, faith, you just work that up. You just, you know, you study the Bible enough to have some faith. But without faith, it's impossible, and without faith, it's impossible even to get born again. He had to give you some kind of an opening. He had to give you some sort of faith in the beginning, and in fact, it's not on the screen here, but Ephesians chapter 2 says that. That he gave us this salvation, and he said, it says in there, it's not of works. It's a gift of God, not of works, unless man would boast. So the gift of faith comes in Romans 12, this verse we're looking at now, Romans 12, verse 3. For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think. Well, that's a pretty good verse, isn't it? Now, your grandma would probably say, don't get the big head, don't get too big for your britches, you know. Just think of yourself. He's talking about in the context of Christ and what he has given us and how we can be productive using the gifts God has given us. That's the context in Romans 12. Don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to think, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. So in that section of Romans 12, we're not going to take a lot of time on that, but in that section of Romans 12, he's talking about serving God with the gifts he gave you. And one of these gifts, he gave each of us a measure of faith. Some versions have the measure. This one has, I believe, a measure of faith. Some versions have the measure of faith. But the idea is that you got faith when you got born again. When you were born again, you came with a, I guess I should say, a toolkit. You know, sometimes you buy a new, very expensive car. It comes with a nice leather-wrapped toolkit in case you have a breakdown. Now, I don't know if you break down in a brand new Mercedes or Lexus if you're going to be able to tinker with it much, but they gave you some tools. Sometimes they do. Ferrari gives tools with your car. I've never seen that. I've never had one, but. But they give tools with a car, and I'm thinking, yeah, I'm going to tinker with a 12-cylinder Ferrari engine with a screwdriver. I don't think so. But in Christ, we came with a set of skills, each of us individually, a set of skills, a set of gifts, the Bible calls them. And one big gift he gave you is faith. But the problem with that is faith, the next slide, our faith has to be developed. It has to be developed. So you get a share like everybody else. You get a share. I heard of a church one time that started a little project of stewardship, and they said, we're going to give everybody in this church $1. And then a month from now, we're going to ask you what you did with this dollar to help the kingdom of God. Now, that's a test, wasn't it? So a gift, everybody got the same thing, but not everybody came back with different results. That's true of the parable of Jesus, right, where the man gave out talents, or actually money, to these guys. One of them got one talent, and he went and buried it because he didn't want to fool with it, scared. And so we are all, when you became a Christian, you got born again, you got a set of gifts. And it's obvious. You just look around. We all have different ways we can serve. Not everybody is called to do the same thing at the same time. So we have all these gifts, and one big gift is faith. But faith has to be developed. That's like anything else. If you see someone who is I saw a special the other day of a man who plays a violin at big concerts, and he is probably in his 70s now, been doing that a long time. But he had a gift, but he had to practice, didn't he? And he had to use the gift. If he sat in around home, played it in the living room, nobody ever heard him, that wouldn't be good. So he developed his gift. So we're going to look at some ways or some stories here about developing your faith gift, how important faith is. Listen to Jesus on the power. We're going to listen to what he says on the power of faith. Faith is an amazing thing. The next slide is going to have this story of the woman with the issue of blood, or the bleeding woman, hemorrhaging woman, and how she got her healing. Now, all of these are not going to be about healing. Some of them are going to be about salvation, but hers is about healing. In some churches, we don't like to talk about healing because people get freaked out about it, and they don't understand it. They don't understand faith healers on TV, and they don't understand, well, I prayed and didn't get healed, or grandma prayed and she died anyway. And, you know, so there's a big package of questions that comes when you talk about healing. We're zeroing in on one thing, faith. Did Jesus think faith was important? How many times did he talk about it? How many times did he say things like this? He would say, "You have great faith." Or to the centurion, I've not seen faith like this in all of Israel." The centurion was not even a Jew. There was a woman, Syrophoenician woman, that came to Jesus and got her daughter's deliverance from a demon. And Jesus said, "Woman, you have great faith." So there are people in Jesus' ministry that were not even in the club. They were not even believers in the sense of being Jewish and following the law of Moses. And Jesus marveled at their faith. And then he came to his own hometown, and he couldn't do any miracles there. And it says because they had no faith. He could not do, didn't say he didn't want to, said he could not do any miracles there. He laid his hands on a few sick people and they got well, but big miracles didn't happen in his own hometown because they didn't believe in him. They didn't have any faith. So did he think faith was a big deal? Does the Bible say without faith it's impossible to please God? It's a big deal to God. God, when Jesus comes back, the Word says when the Lord comes back, he said himself, when the Son of Man returns, will he find any faith on the earth? So faith to Jesus is a big deal. He quite often said, "Your faith did this. Your faith made you whole. Your faith healed you. Your faith saved you." We're going to see some of those. What the first one is this one here, Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9 begins at verse 18. Well, let's go to verse 20. Just then a woman, you'll see some of it on the screen here, not much, but a little bit. You can write down Matthew 9:22, and that'll get you back to the right spot. Verse 20 says, "Just then when a woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak." Been bleeding for how long? 12 years. One account says she'd been to every doctor she could. No doctor could help her. She spent all her money. So she'd been through the mill. Some of you know what that's like, right? Doctor after doctor after doctor, and they all think they've got a solution, and then they don't. And they apologize, "Well, I thought this would fix it, but it didn't." And then the bills come in. And do you know how that is? The bills come in and the bills come in. If you don't have good insurance, then you're struggling. A lot of people go bankrupt these days because they can't pay medical bills because their insurance wouldn't pay. They didn't have the right insurance or good enough insurance. And so this poor woman had been through all of that, and she thought she had heard. Now here's a key to faith. She had heard what? About this man named Jesus of Nazareth, who they say is a miracle worker. They say he's, and she may have had a cousin who came to her and said, I went to one of his meetings, one of his services, and I saw a bunch of people get healed. And so the woman, faith comes by hearing, doesn't it? She didn't just do this in a vacuum. She'd heard a lot about Jesus, maybe even seen. But if she's bleeding like this, she couldn't get out much. If she's bleeding like this, according to the law of Moses, she's supposed to stay put and not get around people because it might be something they can get infected by. And so she was hampered in her life, not being able to go and do like anybody else would. So she said to herself, she touched the edge of his cloak and said to who? Matthew 9, verse 21. NIV says, said to herself. Now, if you read the other accounts, which I'm not going to take time to do, but there are two other accounts. If you want to write them down, they won't be on the screen there. One's in Luke chapter 8, and one's in Mark chapter 5. You go there and read it for yourself. Just write down Luke chapter 8, Mark chapter 5. If you go there, you'll find her story told in a little bit more detail. You find out when you read those that one writer says she said, and another writer says she thought, and this one says she said to herself. So what's really the truth? Yes, all of that, right? She had thought about this and thought about this and thought about this and talked about this and talked about this and finally came up to this point of saying, if I can just get to Jesus. She knew the meetings or the services or the traveling he did. She knew there would be massive crowds. By this time in his ministry, there are massive crowds everywhere. In fact, the part of that story deals with some of that. And she knew that if I can just get to where he is. Now, he wasn't that long in one place, was he? If I can get to where he is, and if I can just get close enough, I don't have to talk to him. I don't have to shake his hand. I don't have to touch his back. I don't have to see his face. If I can be there and he comes by, I can just grab the hem of that garment. Now, there was precedent for that. You read about that in other places in the New Testament where people touched the edge of, touched cloaks and they got healed. So she thought, when he comes by, if I could just catch him as he goes by. She said to herself, if I only touch his cloak, I might get some help. Are you looking at it? What does it say?
I will be.
Oh, she said what? I will. That's faith talking, right? What is faith? Faith is you're persuaded. Faith is conviction. Faith is I'm sure. NIV says faith in Hebrews, it says faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you can't even see. So was she sure and certain? According to her language, she was sure and she was certain that she was going to be able to do this. If I only touch his cloak, I will be healed. You see, we try to operate in faith sometimes and our faith is tentative because we're not sure. I'm just not sure. I'm not sure what God wants to heal me. I'm not sure God wants to save me. I'm not sure that God is that way. I'm not sure that God loves us. I'm not sure that God really cares or knows about me. I'm not sure that he knows my name. I'm not sure. God's got lots of problems. People say this a lot. God's got lots of problems. He's got lots of things on his mind. Got the whole world on his mind. Why would he stop and look at me and give me some help? You're not sure. Was she sure? She was. And her surety, he turned to her, verse 22, saw her, said, take heart, daughter, he said, I healed you. Is that what it says? Now, what does it say? Your faith healed you. What does that mean? Well, We use a good bit of electricity around here having services and come in one day and all the lights are off and everything's dark. Maybe a nighttime service, Wednesday night, and you come in and everything's dark in here and the air conditioning's not running and, I guess the power's off. Wonder why the power's off. And I start telling you, well, I just didn't turn anything on because we're trying to save money. Is there enough power coming from the power company to this building? Unless you've had a hurricane or something, there's power. Right now, there's power coming in here. But if you never turn it on, if you never turn it on, so when I turn these lights on, I don't create the power. I don't create the lights. What happens? I take advantage of the power that's already there. So when Jesus said to her, "Your faith saved you," instead of saying, "I saved you," or "healed you," instead of saying, I healed you," he said, "Your faith has healed you." What's he saying? You just turned it on. You flipped the switch. How'd she flip the switch? Faith. What kind of faith was it? She was sure. I mean, come on, she was sick for so long and bled for 12 years and no doctor could help her, and she spent all her money and she has no other hope. And so it's like, desperate. I can't do anything. I can't go out. I can't work. I can't. It comes to a point, sometimes we have to get down to the bottom and to the point of desperation, and then we say, maybe God can do something. Maybe, yeah, let me try this. And then you go, you have to go beyond that. You can't just be experimental with it. You have to say, I know. Well, how do you get there? You feed on the word to the point where the realization comes. Have you ever studied a passage of scripture or read a passage of scripture that when you read it, you thought, I never saw that before, but you'd read it 100 times? What's happening? Your spirit is coming awake to that particular teaching. He's coming awake. Same thing with faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, so the word of Christ. So you keep hearing, and you keep hearing. And she had heard a lot, this lady here had heard a lot about Jesus probably, and it got to the point where she thought, that's it. It just came up, like, that's it. He can help me. And she'd heard stories about how many people he had healed. So he never turned anybody away. You can't find it, I can't find it, where Jesus ever told somebody no. The blind men that came to him, we'll talk about those in a minute. This lady, nobody ever came to Jesus and said, please heal me, I need healing. And he said, no, I just don't feel like it today. Or no, you haven't done enough good works yet. Or no, you don't deserve it. Or she somehow got that in her head. Not only can he do it, this is a key. Not only can he do it, he will. When you get to the he will part and you're solid in that, wow, things are going to happen. Unusual things are going to happen. Was this unusual? What happened? I didn't read you the other two accounts. I gave you where they are, but you'll find out that her issue of blood immediately stopped when she touched the hem of his garment, and you'll find out that his disciples, he said, who touched me? And the disciples said, well, Lord, look at the crowd. They basically said, you're in the middle of a crowd. It's like one of these big rock stars goes through a crowd and everybody wants autographs and touch. He had been jostled and bumped, but he said, who touched me? They said, Lord, look at the people around you. And he said, no, power went out from me. Could he feel it? He could feel it. Now, you can feel a touch from God sometimes, but God can feel a touch from you sometimes too. And he felt a touch from her, like, ooh, wait a minute, what was that? Who touched me? And the crowd just stopped in amazement, I guess. And they thought, everybody's touching you. No, power went out from me. Somebody touched me and power went out. Why? Because she had faith. And when she touched him in faith, connection was made. She got her healing. Went on her way, happy, happy, happy. Did Jesus say, your faith has made you well? Was her faith a primary part in this? A lot of people say, well, I have faith. I have faith. Well, what do you mean by that? Faith in what? If you say, well, I have faith, think about what you're saying. What do you have faith in? Do you have faith in Jesus to save you from hell? You know, you don't get into the church. You're not born again unless you have that kind of faith, right? You say, well, I believe he died for my sins. I believe He took care of that. I believe he was raised on the third day. I believe he's coming back. That's faith in the operation, that part of the operation of Jesus' ministry. But there's a different kind of faith. There's a faith for something right now that's tangible. All of it's tangible, but this woman needed a specific thing, right? She didn't know much about Jesus as Messiah, I guess, but she knew he heals people, and he will, if I can just touch. Not going to make a big deal out of it, she thought. I just go, and when he comes by, there we go. And she's not supposed to be out in that crowd anyway, bleeding like that. But she got her healing. Here's another one, Matthew chapter 9, still in Matthew 9. Verse 27, as he went on from there, two blind men followed him, calling out, "Have mercy on us, son of David." Two blind men, they're crying out after Jesus. Have mercy. Do we need mercy sometimes? We just need, help me, Jesus. I just need some mercy. These men couldn't see. I don't know how long they'd been that way. I didn't read that part yet. But they started crying out to him. Now remember, they're blind. They can't see. They just hear the rustling, and they hear. And somebody said, there's one other incident where a blind man got healed, and he heard, somebody said, "Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming." So these guys knew he was there, and they started crying out after him. "Have mercy on us, son of David." Now, son of David is a messianic term. It means Messiah. The psalmist talked about that. Then Jesus himself talked about it. Son of David, they say, "You're the Messiah, you're the Messiah." They must have been Jews. "And have mercy on us, son of David." You've got all the power. You're the Messiah. "Have mercy on us, son of David." Is that a prayer? That's a prayer, right? "Have mercy on us, son of David." Verse 28, when he had gone indoors, they followed him around somehow. They had helpers, I guess, helping them get around. They followed him indoors. He had a house in Capernaum. They followed him indoors. And what did he say? "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" Believe and faith are the same word. Faith is, if I'm not incorrect, faith is the noun and believe is the verb. Same word, but it's faith is the thing, and believe is what you do with the thing. He said to these men, they said, "Have mercy," and what's he talking about now? Taking care of their eyesight problem. "Do you believe that you have faith that I'm able to do this?" "Yes, Lord," they replied. Now, they could have been faking it, but he didn't think they were faking it. Because when he heard that from their own mouth, I don't know how they said it, but they said, "Yes, Lord," in a way that he was convinced they do have faith. Jesus could tell when people had faith. Remember that? There have been incidents like that in the Word. So they say, "Yes, Lord." And then he touched their eyes. "According to your faith, will it be done to you?" And their sight was restored. According to your faith. For the woman, and now for these men, the operative thing is the faith. The faith draws on the power of God. The faith in what? He asked them specifically, "Okay, you men need eyesight. Do you believe I can do this?" So what was their faith supposed to be? Just in that incident, faith in this person, they'd heard about him too, like I'm sure like the woman with the issue of blood. Do you believe I'm able to do this? Do you think I have the power to do this? Do you not think, do you believe? Do you have faith? Are you convinced? Are you... Do you have conviction? Are you persuaded? The Bible uses that word sometimes about Abraham's faith, fully persuaded. Are you persuaded? Do you believe this? They didn't say, "Well, I hope you can." They didn't say, "I sure hope so, because I need this." What did they say? Immediately, "Yes." So somehow the way they said that, "Yes, Lord," he touched their eyes. And he said this, according to your faith. Whatever your faith can take, here it is. I'm laying it out for you. According to your faith, just have some. If you go to someone's house, they put together a nice meal, and they say, here, let's have some meal. Let's have this beautiful meal. And you might say, yeah, because I'm really hungry. Sometimes you might say, well, I'm not quite that hungry. How much you eat may be according to your appetite, right? So he said, according to your faith, be it done to you. The next words, according to your faith, and their sight was restored. So he said, if you get anything from what I'm doing, it will be your faith that does it. So it's back to the power company or the water company, this huge tank out here that's full of this water. If you never turn the taps on, you don't get any water. But is the power still there? Is the water still there? It's there. It's there for your use. But if you start talking about the power company or the water company, and you say, well, they don't really want me to have any water. Why would they want me to have water? That's a big corporation. Why would they want me to have any water? Well, it was bought and paid for. Just turn the faucet on, right? The bill has been paid. Turn the faucet on. Jesus said faith is what got them this healing. Your faith. There's one more here. Luke chapter 7. We'll quit with this one, but Luke chapter 7. I heard a preacher the other day say, in conclusion, I think, people get nervous. Luke chapter 7. And in Luke chapter 7, about verse 36, I think it is. No, it's later than that. It is, I'm in the wrong one here, right? Luke chapter 7. Y'all let me go too far. I went. Luke 7, verse 36. One of the Pharisees invited Jesus, Luke 7, verse 36. One of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him. So he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. That was the way they did it back then. Reclined. I get you. You get your meal and your nap all at once, I guess. When a woman who had lived in a sinful life in that town learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster jar of perfume. And as she stood behind him at his feet, because he's reclined and she's standing up, she's weeping. Huh. Why, she just walked in and starts crying. Sounds like. Must have been a little history here. She's weeping. And began to wet his feet with her tears. That's a lot of tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, kissed his feet. So now she's down on the floor. And she's doing what? Wiping off the tears with her hair, long hair, obviously. And she kissed his feet and poured this perfume on them. Now, that would be scandalous in a lot of places, but it was here. What is this nut doing down here in the floor, you know? And so when the Pharisee, verse 39, who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, he's thinking about this, said to himself, if this man were really a prophet, he would know who's touching him and what kind of woman she is. She's a sinner. Well, we don't get a description of what she's done wrong, but she had a bad reputation in that town. Might have been some prostitution involved. We don't know, but she's got some kind of a bad reputation, and she's an outcast. She's an outcast in the town, and she probably just walked her way into this open meeting, open dinner, and probably people watching her like kind of horrified that she would even come in here. What's she doing here? She didn't get invited. Nobody would invite her. And this man, the Pharisee, who is a religious leader, is thinking. If he's there, he's got Jesus there to evaluate Jesus. Is he really what he says he is? Is he really a prophet? And so he's watching this whole thing, and the woman's crying, and she's wiping Jesus' feet with her hair, and she's anointing this very expensive perfume on his feet. And this man's watching this, and he's thinking, he doesn't get it. Jesus just doesn't get it. He doesn't understand this situation, does he? If he were a prophet, if he were really a prophet, he'd tell her to get out of here. He would know who she is, what she is, and he'd get her out of here. He didn't say that. Jesus, verse 40, said, Simon. Now we know his name. Not Simon Peter, but Simon was a common name. I have something to tell you. Tell me, teacher. When two men owed money to a certain money lender, one owed 500 denarii. I looked it up, $80,000. That's a big debt, isn't it? $80,000. The other owed 50, which is only $8,000. Neither of them had the money to pay it back. So he canceled the debts of both men. Which one will love him more? In other words, which has got the most relief? Which one has the biggest relief? If you owed $80,000 and this other guy owed $8,000 and the guy canceled both debts and he calls you in and says, I'm canceling both your debts. The guy that owes $80,000 is going to say, oh my goodness, thank you. Thank you. The guy that owes $8,000 would be appreciative, but the guy that owes $80,000, it's like, thank the Lord. Finally, I got this burden off me. What a wonderful man. He's forgiven me of all this debt, and I don't have to pay this money back. $80,000. I don't have to pay it back. Which one will love him more? Simon said, well, I suppose the one that had the bigger debt. Jesus said, good answer. Then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? No, he really hadn't seen her. He had seen who he thought she was. He didn't really see her. Jesus sees people, doesn't he? He sees who you really are. It's not a frightening thing. It's just that the world may not think you're any good. The world might not be impressed with you, but he knows who you really are. He knew this woman. He knew her heart, not just her reputation. Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You didn't give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, which was a kiss on the cheek was kind of customary, even for men coming into a big banquet. You didn't give me that kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You didn't put oil on my head, but she's poured perfume on my feet. Oil on the head was another custom. This man had Jesus in there and didn't even treat him like a guest. Not very well, anyway. So he said, look at this woman. Simon, do you see this? Look at this woman. You didn't give me any of these perks. You didn't treat me with any respect. Did you know that respect, you really get what you respect. If you don't respect certain things, you don't get anything out of it. People that don't respect the Bible, they're not going to get anything. If you don't respect the Word of God, you don't respect the church, you don't respect Christian people, it's just one of these crazy things about life is if I disrespect something, I won't get anything out of it. It's like the idea of whatever I mock, whatever I mock, I will never understand. And so Jesus said, look at this woman. I see her. You don't see her. You don't see the real her. I see her. And he tells what she did. You didn't put oil on my head. She's poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven. That's it. Why? This woman didn't repent, far as we know. This woman didn't beg Jesus for anything, didn't beg him. She just overwhelmed with who he is. He has spent so much time ministering to sick people, raising the dead, teaching people, giving them hope. He spent so much time, and she knew this. And she knows he's the Messiah. And so finally, God is revealed as not being a stiff Pharisee, but God is revealed as a compassionate, loving God. And she's so thrilled that Messiah is here and he's like this, cares about people, goes around all over the place, healing the sick. She didn't even ask him for anything. And he said, you see this woman and what she did? Therefore, I tell you, verse 47, this is Luke 7, 47. Therefore, I tell you, her many, well, how many? Many sins have already been forgiven. See, he had the power to do that, didn't he? For she loved much. She showed me much love, he says. He knew that commandment. They all knew that commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. She found Jesus. She poured out this love on him. She loved much, but he who has been forgiven little loves little. Jesus said to her, your sins are forgiven. The other guests began to say among themselves, who is this that even forgives sins? He's not supposed to do that. Jesus said to the woman, all right, look at that statement. What did he say to the woman? Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. He didn't say, I saved you. He didn't say, the Father saved you. Now, that's true, but in that event, he said, if you hadn't had faith, you wouldn't have gotten anything. If you hadn't had faith, you wouldn't have come in here like that. If you hadn't had faith, you wouldn't have been weeping and appreciative. She's so appreciative of what he has done for her, treating her like a real human being. Maybe he talked to her while she was doing all this. We don't know. But she's so appreciative. She says, he says to her, verse 50, your faith has saved you. Now go in peace. How important is faith? Oh, the real breakdown is not that God is unwilling. It's not like we're going to pray for these names in his notebook in a minute. God's not the unwilling party. It's not that God's unwilling, that God hates people, that God is holding out on us, that God is stingy, that God doesn't want to give you anything, that God doesn't want to have you to have any good health, that God is up there in heaven just saying, you crawl and you crawl and you crawl enough, I might do something for you. That's not the God we read in the Bible. It's not that God's unwilling, it's that our faith is often short. It comes up short, and we don't maintain our faith, and we don't study, and we don't read, and we don't absorb, and we don't listen actively, and we don't keep thinking about, how can I increase my faith? Lord, help me increase my faith. I need my faith level to be up there. I need faith. I mean real faith. Faith like this, not just faith that I go to the right church, not just faith that I believe the gospel. That's primary, but this is faith. This is faith in God. And Jesus said, the next slide is going to have it on there. He said in Mark 11, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Who are we having faith in? God. Who's God? Father, Son, and Spirit. You have faith in God. You believe in Him. And you get to know Him. Your faith comes from getting to know Him. And as you get to know Him, you realize who He really is. That's what this woman experienced. She found out who God really is. God's not a Pharisee. God's not a legalistic Pharisee. God is love. And God helps the brokenhearted. He's close to the brokenhearted. God forgives sinners. Doesn't matter how much you've done. He said, your many sins have been forgiven. That's why he was here. That's why he came. We need a renewal of our understanding about who God is. And the only way to get that is read or listen. If you don't like to read, listen. Plenty of ways you can listen to the Bible. And you get into it and you find places that help you understand what faith is. And you say, my faith in God is growing. If you have faith in God, you don't say, well, I would pray about that, but he'd probably turn me down. That's not faith, is it? God don't want to help me. God helps everybody else, but he doesn't care about helping me. That's not faith. Faith has to come out of your mouth. Faith talk. In all of these, many of these other cases, we may look at some more later, many of these other cases, people started talking the right way before they got their breakthrough. They didn't go around talking everything down and how terrible it is and all of that. So about 2-3 weeks ago, I almost completely cut off watching the news. I still watch once in a while. I do okay with weather. Watching the weather's not too depressing, unless a hurricane's coming. But if you get into the world's mindset, you're going to think like the world. If you get into the book, you're going to think like Jesus. Have faith in God. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it. That's faith, isn't it? I prayed about this, and I have every confidence God heard me because He loves me, and He's my Father, and He takes care of me. And as I've said it, I've prayed it, and I just leave it in His hands now. And I'm watching, and I keep coming back and saying, well, Father, thank you. See, if you believe something has happened in your prayer, if you believe your prayer has been heard and answered, the next thing is not just keep asking the same thing over and over, but saying, Father, thank you that you've done this for me. Because if you keep saying the same thing again, please do this for me, please do this for me, please do this for me, you never get to the point where you say He's already done it. If you get to the point where you say He's already done it, you say, thank you. Thank you for doing that. And I'll praise you for this. And I'll give you thanks for this. You say, I don't know if I'm there yet. I don't know if my faith is there yet. Well, is it time to start in that direction? Is it time to chart the course and say, I want to be there? I'm going to get there. That's faith talking, right? God's going to help me get there. Whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. Mark 11, 22-24. So right now we're going to pray, and the reason I put that up there is this notebook. These names that we have in the notebook, have you prayed over these? Some of you have. We pray over these all the time. You had sheets. You turned in sheets with names on it. You should have probably kept a copy that you're praying over now. How are you praying? Are you saying, well, I hope one day you'll do this, God? God has already said He's not willing for any to perish. He's not reluctant to save everybody in this book. Why aren't they being saved? If they're not being saved, it's not because of God. It's because when we pray, if we don't pray in faith, see, the person who's in here is not going to be asking God for much, and they're not going to be saying, I want to be saved. It's our job to pray them into that position, that situation. So we're standing in for them. You know, it like if you stand in for somebody at work, somebody can't make it to work, call in, he's sick, so you jump into their place and you take their place at work. Well, these people can't pray for themselves, most of them can't, and they can't pray to be closer to God because they don't want that right now. So our job is to do it for them. We're taking their place. Father, we thank you that you've given us the faith. You gave us a measure of faith, and you're helping us develop the faith. So this book that we have, all the names of those who are not yet saved and all the names of those who fell away, we're asking, thanking you again that you have heard us. We've been doing this a while, and we know, Father, that we don't have to keep on asking in the sense that we don't want to ask in unbelief. We want to thank you that you have heard our prayer. We know you have because your word says we need to be praying like this. This is the kind of prayer we should be praying for those who are lost. Open their eyes, please. Help them see the direction they need to go in. We thank you for hearing us today. We thank you for blessing us while we've been here today, Father. As we continue to pray for them, thank you that these folks will hear from you. They will open up to you. And as they do, that you'll work in their lives. Thank you, Father, in Christ's name. Amen.